His clothes, too, were as bizarre in their appearance as he was, being an uneasy mixture of plough and pulpit, in that they ranged from a black top hat and long frock coat to a pair of farmer's gaiters and a hunting crop. But there was little Christianity in the face which glowered above the neck stock, for it was a visage seared with a thousand wrinkles, burned yellow with the eastern sun, marked with every evil passion, and containing a pair of deep bile-shot eyes set on either side of a thin, fleshless nose. Overall, in fact, our visitor looked very much like a thoroughly out-of-sorts aging bird of prey, and all the more dangerous because of it.
I said, which of you is home?
My name, sir. Please come in, if you will, Mrs. Hudson. That will be all. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I'll come in.
I'm afraid you have the advantage of me.
I, sir, am Dr. Grimesby Roylott of Stoke Moran.
Indeed, Doctor. Pray take a seat. Watson, perhaps our guest would like a cushion.
Cushion? I want nothing of the kind. My stepdaughter has been here. I followed her. She suffers from delusions. Now, what's she been saying to you?
It's a little cold for the time of year, I think.
She said that?
The crocuses seem to promise well. In the wrong hands, Dr. Roylott, a hunting crop is a vicious and cowardly weapon, though certainly not as dangerous as the service revolver my associate here always carries about his person to deal with any mad dogs we may chance upon.
I see. I see. Well, I know you, you scoundrel. I've heard of you before. Holmes the matter. Holmes the busybody. Holmes the Scotland Yard jacket office.
Ah, oh, most entertaining, Dr. Roylott. When you go out, I wonder if I might ask you to close the door. There's a decided draft.
I will go when I find myself. I'm a dangerous man to fall foul of, Mr. Holmes, especially to those who meddle in my affairs. Here, let me show you. There. An example of my grip, Mr. Holmes. See you keep out of it!
Pass me the poker, Watson, as a good fellow. Not quite as straight as it was, though Mrs. Hudson will hardly notice the difference. And now to business. You go to Waterloo, if you will, and take two tickets for the first train to Leatherhead after 1 o'clock. Mine to be left at the booking office. I at a doctor's commons, and on the journey, we will compare notes. And if you could, old fellow, an empty compartment.
Shall I take anything?
Your revolver, an Ely's number 2, is an excellent argument with gentlemen who can twist steel pokers into knots. That and a toothbrush are all I think we'll need.
Five hours later, as requested, I chose an empty compartment on the Leatherhead train and watched anxiously from the door. But there was still no sign of him as the guard blew, and we began to move off. About to pull my head in, I suddenly saw Holmes vault over the barrier, deftly deposit his ticket in the top pocket of the astonished collector's waistcoat, and begin to sprint up the platform, from whence he swung himself aboard without a hair out of place, and settled into a corner seat. Then, oblivious to my presence, he drew some papers from his pocket and fell to scribbling and frowning, and scribbling again. For my part, sitting opposite him, I gazed out of the window for a time, and then, what with the steady rattling of the train over the rails, the green of the Surrey countryside, and the bright sun concentrated through the glass window.
What?
No, Holmes. Of course. The sun, you understand, all that way.
Yes. But look at this. A copy of the mother's will. Checking her investments, I find the income from them now to stand at about £750. And of this income, each daughter is liable for a third at marriage. It is evident, therefore, that even one of the girls marrying would cripple Roylott to a serious extent. They both were to leave home with husbands.
Why, he would be reduced to a mere pittance.
Just through these trees and we're there. Oh, but I am frightened, Mr. Holmes, to learn that Dr. Roylott followed me to your lodgings. His temper...
Miss Turner, I assure you that I personally shall deliver you to your aunt at Harrow if needs be. But that will be decided, but...
And there before us lay the manor house of Stoke Moran, a building of grey, lichen-blotched